animation is based on change, I think. So you're changing one thing into another, and that lasts about 5 minutes. And then you can't stand it anymore. However interesting it is, you just unplug after 5 minutes. And the other kind of animation is drawings or images, computer images, that walk and talk, which that will sustain for 100 minutes, 72 minutes if the kids have to have a pee, isn't it? That's the sort of rule. So obviously we're going to choose images that walk and talk.
And welcome back, everybody, to Acme Podcast Incorporated. I'm your host, Kaiju Emperor, and as usual, I'm joined by my co-host, Jake.
Hello!
Hello.
Welcome back. We're still not doing these bi-monthly, but we're getting them up quicker, I think.
Yeah. I mean, as always, shit happens, and believe you me, if it's not evident, some shit definitely happened to me.
Yep. For those who can't hear it, Jenk is going to have sound a little different because he just had a tooth removed, so if he sounds a little weird, that's why.
Yippee. Outermost, left side molar, baby.
Woo.
Yeah, the worst part is that, like, the actual removal was pretty fucking, like, chill. The guy was nice.
The anxiety of like dental work is like the worst part.
It's
when it actually happens, it's fine.
It's literally everything before and after, and that's what worries me about every fucking trip to the dentist is just like when I was a kid, I was like, okay, needles scary, they're putting metal things. Now, as someone made entirely of metal because I'm a real ass goddamn robot, of course, for real, really, truly. Mm-hmm. I don't mind, like, I don't know, I just don't fucking mind it. I've seen what the scarier things can be done with metal in the human body.
I've seen Iron Man Tetsuo.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, I know where and I'm like, well, first of all, I'm a fucking freak too. I'm like, damn, this is kind of sick. I'm a metal man now. Like, I can find ways to make getting fucking anesthesia cool. It's,
yeah.
But they don't tell you about the fucking dentist that, like, is weird and, like, off-putting. It's not, like, not the sound, because, like, I remember my doctor was like, oh, there's gonna be, like, water sound, don't be scared. I'm like, eh, I don't mind, it's fucking white noise. Again, like, Tetsuo the Iron Man. Like,
yeah.
It's not the sound or the feel, like, the feeling or lack thereof, or even the visuals, because I close my eyes for most of it. Because fucking, the light's so fucking bright, it hurts my eyes. No, what bothers me the most is the smell.
Yeah, the dry mouth smell is so bad, man.
The dry mouth smell, the smell of the dental, like, just, that, like, it's, that smelly smell. That smelly smell, it smells smelly. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, because, like, the reason your breath smells really bad in the morning is, like, the dry mouth. Like, especially if you have a really dry mouth, it smells really bad, even if you brush your teeth. Not a great smell, man.
God, like, that's just the worst part about it. And then fucking 3 hours later, I'm like, oh, fuck, my anesthetic is out. Oh, fuck, there's blood. Oh, Jesus. Oh, no.
Yeah, as someone who's had a root canal, I sympathize.
Part of me wishes it were a root canal because I hate this fucking hole in my mouth. But also, better a hole in my mouth than a hole in my fucking savings.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Dental work is expensive.
Dental work is expensive. But at least it's just dental work, right? Looks to the actual hole that's going to happen in, 2 months when June hits?
Mm-hmm.
$80 Mario Kart, baby.
Yeah, we don't usually talk about video games, but the direct, the Switch 2 Direct happened.
See, we're cool nerds, not the nerds who like video games, but also
I do like video games.
Doesn't matter. No, we're not. Name one thing we've talked about that actually fucking. I literally can't even say that. Finish that, because I remember during the Wally episode, I literally spent 5 minutes talking about, like, the PSP game.
You did.
I did. I am a proud owner of that.
Also, I don't have it in me to have a video game podcast because, like, my favorite podcast is a video game podcast, and I'm like, nah, I can't be copying my favorite podcast, man.
I just think worse shit happens in the realm of video games, both in, like, because, you know, here's the thing, games... Oh, fuck, you know, I can't... See, if I say what games are, then we'd be up a video game podcast, so I can't talk about it.
No, we can talk about it.
Well, you know what I mean, as
fine.
It's more just, like, yeah, like, when it comes to games over, like, versus animation, it's like... I think games all mechanically have to follow... Not the same... Eh. There's no way of putting this, that it's just all games are video games. But of course that's what they are. But, like... All animation isn't... It could be there's animated films, animated features, animated commercials, animated, like, fucking things on banners. Whereas video games are, like... They're a game. They're games. They have a...
Yeah.
Either some kind of progression system or just some kind of, like, feedback. Like, you press... You do something and something happens in relation to what you do. They're all, like programs.
Yeah, and also video games can have animation in them.
That too. That's another big thing, is that, like...
There are two different mediums, and a lot of the times, mediums intermingle. Like, you know, there's a lot of writing in video games, and movies, and animation, and that's another form of media, music, etc. No one piece of media is mutually exclusive to the other.
Unless it costs $80 on release.
Unless it costs $80 on release. But like, that's just the video game industry as a whole, maybe.
That's sort of what I was being, is like, yeah, no, games we can talk about, it's just that the games industry, holy fuck, dude. Holy fuck, man.
The video game industry is experiencing late-stage capitalism.
I argue it's been, but we've only started to realize it, like, kind of too late.
Mm-hmm. But, fuck it. Enough about that.
Yeah. That's for those other guys, you know.
Yeah, those
if
guys.
You know,
were,
you know.
Those guys are in the. They're in like a castle or something. I think.
That was a mansion.
Maybe. They're in some sort of large structure, with some sort of superhuman creature. But anyway, what you been up to, Jank? Other than the tooth thing.
What have I been up to? Fucking A. I'm sure... I was just kind of worrying about it all week that... I'm sure I remember if I did something... Like, what was something, like, fucking really nice that I did? Ah, jeez. Skip me for a bit. You tell me what you were doing, because I have to remember... Because I literally was just worrying about the procedure.
Okay, so... I started watching, I have been watching some of the... various series, Dimension 20. Like, I had finished Crown of Dimension 20 from Dropout TV, the tabletop podcast.
Yeah.
And I'd watched a couple of the series that I'd already done, mainly A Crown of Candy and A Court of Fae and Flowers, which I love both of them, especially A Crown of Candy. Crown of Candy was fucking amazing. But I hadn't watched the first series they did, and like the one that they've done the most of, which is Fantasy High, which I just started watching. I'm like 7 or 8 episodes into Fantasy High.
Is this the thing where it's like one of the characters is like an orc with like halfling parents?
Yes.
Okay, I've seen like reels and shorts and whatever TikTok derivatives
that's Zack Oyama's character Gorgug.
I love Gorgug. He's funny.
Yeah, Gorgug. I think my favorite character right now is Lou Wilson's character, Fabian Seacaster, who's like this like pretty rich boy. But that just might just be my weakness for Lou Wilson. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's a good listen when I'm working on RPG stuff in the background, like maps and PDFs and stuff. And then I'm also re-listening to a podcast that I absolutely love called Friends at the Table. which is more of an actual play than like the higher production that you would expect from Dimension 20 or Kurt Roll. And they play, in their first campaign, they play Dungeon World, which is a Powered by the Apocalypse system. Mm. And I had been meaning to go back to it and finish that campaign they did, because when I did watch it, there was some of my favorite things from a D&D podcast ever, like from a narrative perspective, were in that podcast. So I've been going back to that. And in terms of things that are more in the realm of animation, I had been watching it, but I hadn't watched it in a while. But I saw he had done a bunch of new episodes. There's this series by a YouTuber by the name of Colin Looks Back. And for the past 5 years, I think, he's been doing this thing called the Disney Villain Retrospective, where every video he talks about like either a singular villain or a group of villains that are like related from the Disney catalog, from the very beginning of Disney all the way to like current day. And he'll talk about their various appearances and interpretations and media from like their original appearance to their appearance in comics, video games, etc. Some, like I said, some videos will just be like, this era didn't have a lot of villains, so it's just a bunch of like short characters from shorts that might have appeared elsewhere. Like his first video was like, he talked a lot about Pete and some of the one-off villains from the early shorts and stuff like that. And, you know, he'll have an entire episode about, like, more prominent characters like Captain Hook and Ursula, Maleficent, and their various appearances and stuff, including their appearances in, like, the theme parks and the riots and stuff. And in the past few episodes, he's been talking about some of the Disney animated shows, like DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, and he apparently on the Darkwing Duck episode, he had like Tad Stones, the creator of Darkwing Duck, on and talked with him. So I'm very much looking forward to like going through that backlog. I'm like 7-8 episodes already. Like I just rewatched the Captain Hook episode, so I'm almost to the point where I was before. And he also had like some other episodes where he brought in other people who worked on some of these. Like I think he had the director of Oliver and Company on that episode, and then he also had the director of the Brave Little Toaster on that episode as well, because Brave Little Toaster was Touchstone, so it was technically a Disney thing. And he's also done some interviews, I think, with just like outside of the retrospective. He's done like some interviews with like animators and stuff. So, really cool series. Recommend it if you're at all interested in that sort of thing. And then
I keep forgetting that you can't see me. I am nodding to like a lot of this. Like this is like cool.
Yeah, it's total. It's I'll like link you the playlist. It's a cool listen to or a cool watch, whichever. There's some really cool stuff that you can see about like how some of the characters are interpreted in, like, Disney worlds across the world. Like, there's a really cool Horned King attraction in Hong Kong Disneyland. That's only in Hong Kong Disneyland. He's, like, a really cool animatronic. It's very defunct land in that way. But focusing not just on the rides and the parks, but also the shows and comics and etc. I'm really looking forward to him getting to the episodes about, like, DuckTales and stuff, because the DuckTales villains episode is like an hour and 14, hour and 30 minutes, because it's like, yeah, no, DuckTales is, there's a lot.
Kind of stacked with villains, like they have like the iconic ones, and then they have like the one-offs.
Yeah, you have Magicka, Dispel, the Beagle Boys, etc. And then they've been in comics a lot, so there's a lot. He also talked about the Phantom Blot, which I'm always happy to see the Phantom Blot.
The original.
Yeah.
Was he the original?
No, Pete is the...
It was always Pete, yeah. I remember Phantom Blot being the bad guy in, like, the Epic Mickey... One of the Epic Mickey games, or am I fucking mixing it up?
Yeah, no, he is the villain. Like, a version of him is the villain in those games. But he first appeared in the comic strip. I think Mickey Mouse Outwits the Phantom Blot. was his first appearance, and that was like in 1939 or something, in like a daily comic strip. And then he's made lots of different appearances throughout Disney's history, like on House of Mouse and other shorts. And he also was like a villain in the new DuckTales show, the 2017 show. Lots of cool stuff there. I'm really looking forward to the interview with Tad Stones. That's going to be super cool because I, for those who don't know, I fucking love Darkwing Duck. Darkwing Duck is my favorite Disney afternoon show, and it's not even close.
You know, with everything we talked about, everything I know about you at this point in time, like, I can kind of, like, I can see that. I can see little baby Joey watching Darkwing Duck going, I want to be this guy. I want to be everyone in this.
And right after that, it's Gargoyles. Like, Gargoyles. Gargoyles. Bleh. Those two are my favorites, and then, you know, we should talk more about Disney Afternoon, because I think me and Laser only ever talked about Darkwing Duck and DuckTales. We talked about the new DuckTales.
Ooh.
With some of the old episodes of the show.
Was Darkwing Duck the first one to the Disney Afternoon, or like...
No, it was just the one I really wanted to talk about, so that was the first one we talked about.
Yeah, honestly, we could dance around and try to pick which one...
Got to talk about Gargoyles, for sure.
Gargoyles, for sure, because that's something I've seen just the reruns. The one I want to talk about, which is more like on the later end, is Buzz Lightyear of Starkivand.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that and Bonkers.
The fuck is Bonkers?
You've ever seen Bonkers?
No.
Okay. So Bonkers, this is time for history. For you, Janky, my boy, sit down on my lap.
What the fuck is this thing?
So Bonkers is a spinoff. During the Disney Afternoon. There was a bunch of like collective pieces of animation called Raw Tunage. And it was, like, a lot of weird stuff, like Marsupilami and, like, other, like, weird pieces of animation. And from Raw Tunage, there was a bunch of shorts
like,
about...
Oh, so this is, like Disney's... It's, like, Disney's Oh Yeah Cartoons, basically.
No, yeah, it's like Oh Yeah Cartoons. And from that short, there was a series of shorts called He's Bonkers, and it was about a cartoon bobcat named Bonkers D. Bobcat. And it was just a bunch of, like, you know, shorts... That kind of happened with Raw Tunage, and then Raw Tunage got canceled, and then, and like around 80, and then like at some point in time, Disney wanted to make a Who Framed Roger Rabbit television show, but they were like, they didn't want to use the Roger character, but they wanted a show like it, so they took Bonkers D. Bobcat and they made him like a within his own cartoon, like, which is called Bonkers, like he's like a cartoon celebrity, and then within the meta narrative of like. The show Bonkers, it's like his show happened and he's like a celebrity like all cartoons are, and it's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit where they're like actors in cartoons, and then Bonkers becomes a police officer with this toon hating detective named Lucky Pakel, and they solve cartoon crimes.
Did you say Bonkers D. Bobcat?
Bonkers D. Bobcat. Yes, he has the will of D. Well, Bonkers,
well, shit.
Bonkers has the will of D.
Well, shit. Now you've interested me. Also, like, I didn't even know that Disney had their own like, their own kind of version of like, because yeah, Nick had Oh Yeah Cartoons, and I think Cartoon Network had like their voting their voting pools where you'd vote for like a show, and then you know whichever one like got the most votes would become a show, and the others would. Die horrible, excruciating deaths.
Yeah, there were also a lot of, like, crossovers with some of the other Disney Afternoon shows. There's, like, a short where Don Carnage and Captain Hook have a sword fight over treasure.
Dramatic battle!
And there's, like, I think Goslin from Darkwing Duck shows up in that at some point. So does, there's a short, there's like some Sebastian, like Sebastian the Crab shorts, where he's being chased by Chef Louis from The Little Mermaid. Lots of like wild shit. It was a weird time. Crazy. It only ran for like 12 episodes and was like 39 shorts, I think. 30, 40 shorts. Like, I don't remember.
No, but it didn't honestly, I kind of want to just see if we maybe we'll do an episode on Raw Tunage, because, like, that seems, like, that'd be hard because it's kind of an anthology thing, right? Like,
I mean, you could probably watch all of Raw Tunage with Bonkers, honestly.
Putting a note on that, because I'm definitely interested. If we were to do Disney Afternoon, though, at some point, I want to do Star Command, because I'm literally in the show. Yeah, I'm literally in the show.
Yeah.
He's literally me, you guys.
He's like me for real, though. I think we've talked about Rescue Rangers and Darkwing Duck, and that's kind of it, I think. Damn. Maybe Tailspin? Maybe. Oh, yeah.
What a fun idea for a spinoff of just... That's the one where it's like the most creative liberty, because I feel like everything else is like, okay, DuckTales, it's his little nephews. Huey and Louie existed before DuckTales, right?
Yeah. For a long time.
And Uncle Scrooge, too, like all the characters. And then it's like, hey, you know The Jungle Book by Rudyard Kipling? Yeah, you know our movie, The Jungle Book? Yeah, so all the animals are now pilots and do dog fights.
Yeah. Oh, we also talked about the Aladdin TV show. That was another one.
That one's cool, too.
We talked about it with the Hercules TV show because it was a crossover with the two of them.
I also remember that and thought it was the sickest shit.
It was awesome.
Disregard time periods. Don't worry about all that.
But you know what show I really want to talk about from the Disney Afternoon? It's like, lots of people talked about Gargoyles. Lots of people talked about these fucking shows. You know what really needs to be spotlighted? Fucking The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, okay. No, fuck all that. Mighty Ducks. We're doing Mighty.
Mighty Ducks.
I like.
On the road to glory, ain't no turning back. Got to be the Mighty Ducks on the Quackatash.
I just like how fucking giant all the characters are because they're hockey players.
Oh, I fucking love the Mighty Ducks.
Fuck, dude. You know what? Why not? My fucking mouth looks like a hockey player now. So we might as well get into the zone. Get all just go all full cylinders.
Can watch that one right after the show we're doing next. Honestly, we can watch both of them at the same time.
Fuck it, because I got bored one time and watched the first three episodes because I was like, is this show like? Supposed to be? Is this based off like the movie? Like, do the kids turn into ducks? Like, no.
Absolutely not. This is
some extreme dinosaurs. Fucking Sonic, like Satayam. Like, no wait, is it Satayam or Sonic? Yeah, this is some Satayam fucking shit. Like, we got Freedom Fighters. We got all the fucking 90s warriors. We got Jeff Bennett, Kath Soucy. Fucking, I feel like Jim Cummings is in there as a character. I'm sure Jim Cummings is in there as a character.
I need everyone to understand how absolutely stacked the voice cast was in that show, especially on the villain side. Because, like, the main villain was Dragonus, who was voiced by Tim Curry.
Oh, fuck.
Then Wraith, the advisor guy, was voiced by Tony Jay.
Oh, my God.
Seeds, the big guy, was voiced by Clancy Brown.
Dude.
And Chameleon was voiced by Frank Welker.
That's fucking...
What, dude. A stacked villain cast.
That's Megatron, Lex Luthor, fucking...
Kane from Legacy of Kane and Megabyte. Like, fucking Megabyte.
Fucking...
All on the same team.
Dude, that's the fucking Lakers of Village, man. You can't...
It is, especially from that era.
You can't... dude. Oh. Fucking Tony Jay is your fucking... How do you... Oh my god, that's... For the fucking Mighty Ducks.
For the Mighty Ducks.
Oh,
all
my
shows,
god.
Man. It's... I'm so glad... that you are so on board with the Mighty Ducks.
Well, because, like, it's the one where I know about it on premise alone, and I remember thinking, like, this is kind of a waste of time. And now that I have, like, learned things and gotten a fucking brain, it just sounds off. Like, I don't know.
It's just awesome.
There's just something about, like, yeah, who fucking cares about... They barely even fucking play hockey, and when they do, it's, like, esoteric as fuck. But they gotta fight the... They gotta get those... What are the bad guys called again?
Oh, they were called... I remember the names of them, but I don't remember if they had, like, a united... The main bad guy was named Dragonus, and they were all, like, reptiles. Like, I think that was, like, their thing. Like, they were dragon or reptile-like, dinosaur-like. I don't remember if they had, like, a united thing. That's gonna bug the shit out of me. No, I'll remember. Hold on. The Saurians. They were called the Saurians.
The fucking Saurians.
Yes.
We gotta get those. I'm sure they had some fucking like, what's the word, like shredhead, like. No one so no, not to be rude to any Saurians in the chat here. Some kind of derogatory term for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you know an extra two is good, when they have like your Decepticreeps, your huh, that's what I don't actually know off the top of my head. Wonder why.
Can't imagine.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess we have the next two episodes planned.
Mighty Ducks and fucking Bonkers D Bobcats.
Well, no, Kaijudo.
Oh. Oh, that's right.
Spoiler alert. You made me do this grab bag. I want to watch a good monster collecting show.
Yeah, no. Honestly, I didn't go into it because I'm just like...
Yeah, well, let's get it. So, for those who weren't here for last week, Jank had an idea to, like, you probably see from the title of this episode. It was like, let's have... Because there's some shows that there's not enough there to talk about as its own show, or we don't think there is, like, on face value. And he was like, we just call it the grab bag, and we're just going to take a bunch of shows that are, like, in a similar genre and put them in the same episode, which we can probably do this again with other shows. So we decided to do a bunch of monster collecting-esque shows from, like, the 2000s.
And specifically non-anime ones, too. So, like, ones that were more, like, North, let's say Western, yes, because they vary. One of them varies. And my idea was that maybe this grab bag would show that these things on their own are weak, but together they're more than the sum of their parts. And boy fucking howdy, we'll figure that out as we go.
Yeah, so just to go over everything we watched, Redekai, Conqueror of the Kairu, Magi Nation, Huntic, Secrets and Seekers, and Daigata Defenders. And I usually go over, you know, the breakdown of, like, where these shows came from. We'll probably mention it, but I'm not going to do a full breakdown because there's too many shows. But we'll mention at least who made it and, like, maybe some of the... If there's any notable people who are in it, we'll probably mention it. Just as a thing. So, do we want to go worst... Oh, by the way, the other thing is that we had to watch at least three episodes.
That was the rubric, because I didn't want...
That was the rubric, and if we watched more, then we weren't forced to. But if we did watch more, it was because, okay.
This is like, this has some sauce, so this has something going for it. And I can tell you for certain that both of us only had one show go over that, and it was, like, the same show, I believe. And
it was.
We may save that one for the end, probably.
Let's go from worst to best.
Because we can agree with the worst one is, yeah.
Redekai, Conqueror of the Kairu sure is a fucking show.
See, okay, so, usually you get ahead with, like, watching things, and to me, it kind of, like, there's a little bit because of, like, just work stuff or, like, trying to find a place to watch it. But, thanks to our... Well, thanks to just me having I was going to say our good friends app, but we're not fucking sponsored by shit. Though you could sponsor us, person I'm going to say next. Thanks to fucking Tubi, I was able to watch the first three episodes of Redekai with ads, and I feel like I was teleported back, like, to, like, 2011, 20... I feel like it was teleported back a decade. Because this is what I remember Redekite being. Is that thing on the background that was, like, kind of ugly looking and kind of nonsensical and kind of didn't explain anything. But I'm like, oh, you know what? This is, like, this is the middle of the show. So maybe I gotta watch the first episodes and they'll explain shit to me. And what I got was, hi, my name is Kai. I need to conquer the
Kairu warrior.
I'm a Kairu warrior. I'm a Redekai warrior, and I must conquer the Kairu. And I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck does any of that mean?
Explain literally fucking anything. What is happening? Who are these people? Why is there, who is this Master Fung looking motherfucker? Why is there an alien? Why is there an alien?
Why is Will Wheaton in the fucking cast list? I don't hear him. I don't want to hear him.
Like, who the fuck is this guy? Why does he show up in episode 2? What do you mean, like, there was some great catastrophe? Like, this show needed, like, a one or two parter to, like, set literally up, like, here's the thing. And this is going to be a thing with all these shows. Is that, like, you don't have to explain everything. Because a lot of these shows don't. And it's sort of like they explain some things and they leave like some things to your interpretation. And you can kind of infer what some things are just based off of, like, context clues and, like, some of the explanation they've given. This show gives you jack and shit. Shit just happens.
I think the reason we did the 3 episodes, now I'm realizing it, is that I want to do... I'm gonna give this, like, this test a name now. Like, Chris, right here. The Samurai Jack test. Because if you remember, Samurai Jack was released as a movie.
The multi-parter, the three-parter.
First 3 episodes of Samurai Jack. And those 3 episodes are fucking perfect, because you get origin, you get that little middle of, like... of him, like, you know...
In the future,
and then you get the 3rd episode, which is, the climactic part, and...
Yep.
It's... Just to fucking glaze my amazing goat, Genndy Tartakovsky, fucking amazing, like, 3 episodes. Perfect, cinematic, just highly indicative of the dude's work going on. But yeah, the idea is that, yeah, those your 3 episodes of any kind of show... especially an animated show, should be able to, like, your show should be able to be, like, not stand on its own with 3 eps, but, like, just have something going for it. Have
answer
you, like,
literally any question I have.
Have you be invested to watch more? And I guess I, you know, in a subconscious way, I was like, oh, let's do 3 episodes. With that being said, Redekai's first 3 episodes, okay, before we get into them, I'm going to explain to you the story of Redekai, or, like, the actual premise, which is
right.
That Kai and his friends, and all his superpowered teen friends, Maya and Boomer and him, are... Yeah, there's a guy named Boomer, by the way.
Yeah.
He's just called Boomer.
Unfortunate.
And they are students of an ancient martial art who are going to find the Kairu, which is, like, just... O-parts. Or, no, it's primordial alien energy. And they have to do it before a bunch of extraterrestrial teenagers, E-teens, as they call them in the show.
Oh my god, that's why they're called E-teens?
Yeah, no, they don't explain any of that. Ever.
I'm glad you did the research, because holy fuck.
If by research you mean I'm reading off the Wikipedia page, which is even, like, it is,
it gives you more than literally anything the show gives you in the first 3 episodes.
It is 2 run-on sentences. It is 2 run-on sentences.
Like, this show, if I were to boil this show down into the most, like, into, like, a one-sentence explanation, this is, like, if this is both... At the same time, this is Discount Chaotic and Discount Shaolin Showdown. Because, like, they do the duels for the Kairu artifacts, just like the showdowns in Shaolin Showdown.
There is never an episode, because I looked it up, like, I just looked up the words backstory, origin, beginning. There is not a single episode that, like, goes and just explains how our characters got here or knew each other. They are just all students of this fucking kung fu, magic, karate... martial arts dojo. They're monks, but they're also explorers, but they're also, like, fighting aliens, but they're also doing magic, and it's, like, nothing. And I can, it's...
There is, like, there is negative setup.
And
the first three episodes just do things that have no narrative weight. Like, the second episode, one of our main characters gets turned evil, and it's like, that might mean something if I had any remote attachment to this character, but it's the second goddamn episode. And the third episode, we find out Kai's dad is missing, I guess, and there was some sort of great incident, which I guess caused the weird alien Kairu shit, but none of it's ever explained, and it tries to give you, like, at the end of that episode, like, he's crying about his dad. I'm like, you know, this might have some emotional weight if you set any of this up or explain literally a goddamn thing.
Okay,
holy
so
shit.
Okay, so I think Tubi fucked up because I think I watched three different episodes. And you know the worst part?
Oh, no. Is this, like, a, is this a, run order is fucked up depending on where you watch it sort of situation?
Does it fucking matter? Hold on, let me see, because...
Yeah, okay.
No, wait! No, because the first episode is the one where fucking Boomer gets a fucking zit on his forehead.
Yeah, no, that's the first one I watched, too.
No, that was the second episode I watched. It doesn't fucking matter. Also, really fun on the Wikipedia page, episode 3, The Kairu Diary. It's the episode about his dad. Like, his dad, he finds his dad's X-reader. What's an X-reader? Good question. And it's literally just one sentence. Kai locates his dad's X-reader and tries to find it. Note, this is the first appearance of the gold metanoid. You will see him more at the end of the series.
Parentheses.
Literally parentheses! Literally! That's how nothing this fucking show is!
Like, and also, like, I don't think there's a single goddamn design in any of these shows in terms of monster designs that are, like, I would call even remotely cool. This one has the worst. Has the worst ones. These designs look like they're right out of GoBots.
I will say this. I get a chuckle. It's not a good chuckle. That's like a pointing at like a schadenfreude. When all the characters... Oh yeah, the main premise of like... Sort of the part why you're supposed to be here is the Kairu battles. Where everyone has to keep doing this weird pose like their fucking spines are giving out. And they have to hold themselves up with their fists. It's supposed to be a bow, but it looks fucking goofy and stupid, and I don't know why, like... I mean, I guess it's cool that the villains are not total assholes. They follow the rules, and then they all shout their dumb fucking made-up names.
And then sometimes they turn into the monsters, and sometimes they don't turn into the monsters.
Because, no, yeah, the episode I watched was like, oh, the first time they just use their magic attacks. Like, okay, they have to build up, like, mana or some shit. And then they have, or it's like, oh, they don't want to go give out because it's like Kairu energy or some bullshit. And I thought, alright, that's like a way of keeping things, like, relevant, or, like, keeping a formula. One fight is just, like, magic powers. The second fight is the transformations. And then they just break that rule instantly. And I'm like, just confused. Like, it's like, okay, so then, and then they say, like, oh yeah, that's a great strategy. Mixing a fire attack and an ice attack can do this a lot of damage. I'm like, is this a fucking, like, was I supposed
to know
that?
It's a game mechanic. It's clearly a game mechanic because this show was, the show was made by Marathon, but the game that is it's made to advertise was made by fucking Spin Master.
A truly the worst kind of combination. French and Canada.
Mm-hmm. Most of these shows are French-Canadian, except one.
This is Extreme Quebecois Media, and to those of our viewership who are Quebecois, I apologize that you live in Quebec.
So sorry for your loss.
God, like... God, man!
Mm-hmm.
Marathon, like... With Marathon, it's like, I feel like they have a... In the early 2000s, Totally Spies, and albeit some of Martin Mystery, like, was good.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the 2010s, they just fucking, like, actual, like, extreme fucking drop. Like, something went wrong at Marathon, which was why they made this and then, like, Amazing Spies. And I kind of liked Monster Buster Club, but that's just because I thought, because I didn't know better. I don't know. Do you remember Monster Buster Club?
I do remember Monster Buster Club because it was on Jetix. Along with things like Yin Yang Yo and Get Ed.
Now that sounds like a good grab bag.
Jetix shows that don't deserve their own episode.
You know there's a million grab bags that can be filled from Jetix shows.
The only one that did deserve its own episode we already talked about.
Yeah, that's the worst part, is like everything else, like, hey, what about Adam? Alpha Teens on Machines. Sorry, no. Sorry.
Dragon Booster, maybe.
Maybe a mainframe like Rainmaker Entertainment like grab bag. Maybe.
Like, I think Dragon Booster might have some sauce.
I was gonna say that I think Stormhawks has some sauce, but that's just because I liked Stormhawks as a kid.
Oh, I know you did. You have the vibes. Slugterra, I've heard, has some sauce.
I know Slugterra has some fucking shooters, like, in the current day. I think it was just a matter of I was, like, just not in the age range to watch it, but people who did watch it, like, they feel for it the same way, like, I or you would feel about Ben 10.
Yeah, no, it was like, that was, like, how Bakugan was for me. I was just out of it at the time, but everyone who watched Bakugan when it was the right time for them, like, will die for Bakugan.
I will die for the first season of Bakugan because it has one of the most insane fucking twists of all time. That
the thing with Alice? Yeah.
Yes, it is the most insane twist of all time, and no one saw it coming, and it is, like, it's... Yeah. I love the resurgence of it now, too. So, you know, going back to Spin Master, it's like, at least they kind of... Was Bakugan Spin Master? I think it was.
I thought it was Hasbro.
Hasbro, cool. Is it now? Spin Master is Bakugan, yes, Battle Brawlers.
Okay, so they also... Okay, well, they had one success. That's Redekai, because holy fuck, man.
Yeah, there's nothing else.
I made myself lightheaded fucking going on that rant for a second there.
Yeah. Fucking A. I mean...
Going from worst to best, and I think I know which one is next.
I feel like this is where contention lies, so you're gonna say it, and I'm going to see if I disagree, but I feel like I know what it is, so just go. Kill me.
Magi Nation.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, no, Magi Nation is the second worst.
I was... Okay, so... What made you come to this conclusion? Was it the same reason... Was it, like, my reasons for it, or was it something else?
Okay, so this is a thing. Yeah. Magi Nation, also Canadian show, by Cookie Jar, which apparently Jank has a very strong feelings about Cookie Jar.
I don't care for Cookie Jar. I don't, like... Yeah, a lot of these were Canadian companies. Cookie Jar in particular, they made, like... Because they're basically, like, the fucked-up slide evolution of Deke. What happened to Deke afterward? They are to Deke what Trigger is to Gainax.
Yeah. And Magi Nation, another monster collecting show, and also they use magic and shit. It's about a kid who ends up in a magic dream fantasy world, and he teams up with these two other kids who are trying to find these, like, collect the dream stones, and they have these creatures that they summon with these crystals called dream creatures. And that, there's some, unlike Redekai, things are explained in Magi Nation.
There is an origin.
There's some cohesion with the theming in some capacity. It's just bad.
Yeah, it's just... The show looks as it would look for, like, an early 2000... Like mid-2000s, 2009-ish show of the time. The opening kicks ass. I'm not gonna fucking be mean.
I did have it stuck in my head. Even. It's catchy. I wouldn't call it good. It's just catchy.
The final dreamer! Like, it's bootleg Bowling for Soup.
It is.
Which
it
is
really is.
Crazy, considering Bowling for Soup is bootleg a lot of other bands, but I say that with love in my heart.
Despite that, I still watch like 4 or 5 episodes of it.
I just capped it at 3 because I don't care for how good a show looks. If the dialogue makes me want to fucking just drill my ears in, then that's it. And I don't know what it is. It's not even that it's bad dialogue. It's just generic. The only thing I liked the most was like Farrakh. He was fun. Okay, no, I like the creatures talking more than the humans talking. They were funny.
Who's noggin needs knockin'?
Because, no, well, look, because what's it? One of the creatures, the unfortunately named Ugger. Oh, Ugger.
Ugger. This animite, I imagine, Ugger.
He's Ugger. He sure is.
But my immediate thought watching this is like, oh my god, I can't believe someone who read How to Draw Manga got a job.
Yeah, a lot of these are just that. There's, you got your Uggers, your Freeps, and your Faroks, and...
Farok is almost a cool design.
Farok's he's almost a weird fake mon, and I like that he's just this baritone, like, grizzled dude who just... I don't know. The way his actor portrays him is, like, cool.
We have Discount, Bebop, and Rocksteady with these two green guys.
I don't even ship these guys. You know how that's how bad it is that I don't even fucking want to ship them. Like, there's nothing to it.
Yeah, no.
Going back a little bit, the thing I was going to say that made me, like, endear to them is that, what was it, Ugger is voiced by Joseph Motiki, who, if you are of sound hearing and a fan of a little show called Metabots, he's
Metabee.
He's Metabee, baby. He's the best bot around. He's the fucking...
Float like a bot, sting like a Metabee.
I don't know how he... I don't know why, like... Dubisms or whatever, but, like, for Metabots, I don't care, because I just like the way it's delivered, and it has the little fucking Transformers warbling on the voice.
Yeah, the thing about Magination is, unlike... Redekai is the worst show, don't get it twisted, because, like, at least Magination, I understand what's happening. It's just boring.
Like, yeah, no, with Redekai, I can laugh at just all the dumb bullshit. And, like, how you can feel the plot's gears, like, just link up and, like, all right, we are moving to advancing action now. Hurry up, guys. Hurry the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And also just, like, going back to, I think the fucking ETs are just so ridiculous in their concept. And how, like, not, they don't have one set of, like, Bulk and Skulls to bounce off, like, you know, because it's a team of three versus a team of three. They have three different teams of three, and they're all just, like, stupider than the last.
And all of them have 1 ounce of the 1 ounce the amount of charisma that Jack Spicer does.
No one can beat Jack Spicer. No one, like, I didn't...
No one can beat Jack Spicer, evil genius.
I never realized that I'd miss fucking Shaolin Showdown and just, like, the Mega Jobber. Because you know what? At least he's funny. At least he's voiced by Danny Cooksey and he's funny. And he flies around and screams like a girl. Oh, man. Like... A good mook can save your fucking show.
Good villains can save your show.
And these shows just don't have good villains because it has... I forgot the fucking villain from Imagination's name again. They're all blurring to me.
Oh, from Redekai was like...
The
only reason I remember Lokar is because Lokar is like if you fused Palpatine and Venger from the D&D cartoon together.
Jesus.
The only reason I remember that bitch. I'm like, this man is Discount Venger.
Aggram. Aggram is his name. I mean, I like that there's backstory to him. Like, oh yeah, it's really simple, but it's like...
Yeah, he's the big... He's similar to Lokar, he's just... But he's the evil sealed away inside of the core of the Earth.
They locked me away for 2,000 years, and now I'm going... With this Dreamstone...
I will destroy the final dreamer!
I imagine Gugu Patru. I don't know. Some fucking made-up name.
The big whale thing he keeps summoning.
I imagine legally distinct Jarmander.
Now, I will say, as a sort of, like, phrase for your creature thing, with this anime, I imagine X, that's a good, like, thing for the kids to say. You know?
There is one... Like, not brain. No, I'm gonna say brain rotted because this is irrelevant. Someone who watched this show as a kid on Kids WB, which I think most of these were on. No,
Actually, all of them except for the last one. All of them except for Daigata.
Yeah. But like...
Well, no. No, only Huntik and Magi were on CW...
CW4 Kids.
Like, Redekai was on Cartoon Network.
That's crazy, man. Anywho, like, just someone, like, hearing the I Imagine... with this anime, I Imagine, like, blank and so, and being like, damn, that sounds really cool. And then 10, 15 years later, reading Jujutsu Kaisen and seeing Megumi saying, with these sacred treasures, I summon Maharaga, and going, whoa! Just like Imagination, you guys! It's the anime, you guys!
Can't wait for Tony to unlock his domain expansion.
I felt your soul, actually, of your body when I said that. I'm sorry.
It did a little bit.
I'm sorry if I ruined Megumi's character by comparing him to Imagination.
You could never ruin Megumi for me. I love that trans boy.
We love you, Potential Nation. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm really layering in on it. I don't know. I think I just hate Imagination, like, for being bland as opposed to being bad. Because it's like...
Yeah.
Just bland.
Objectively speaking, it's the better show, but that doesn't mean, like, that I like it more.
The main
they're both bad.
The main trio has, like, character beats, but they're not, like... I'm just not invested to care enough. Like, what's it? Oh my god, the purple-haired guy who's not human? Question mark? He's like an elf or something?
None of them are human except Tony.
The main character's name is Tony.
I mean, what's wrong with Tony?
I don't know, it's just... You got some fancy names and it's like, hi, I'm Tony.
Yeah, no, his name is Strag. It's Tony, Strag, and Eden. Eden's at least easy to remember because she has a plant monster.
I forgot his name was Strag. Huh.
Yeah. His name is Strag, and he had, like, he literally had the Sword of Omens give me sight beyond sight power.
I remember that being that he had fucking cool eyes in the show. That was one of the things where it's like...
Moon Sense, or whatever the fuck it's called.
Like, see, it has, like, cool fantasy names, it just doesn't feel like...
And I'll give it credit. They did... I watched, like, 4 or 5 episodes. They solve a lot of the problems. Like the monsters, like, they don't just use the monsters all the time. They actually, like, have to solve puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, like, have practical solutions to problems a lot of the time. Which, you know... I'll give them credit where it's due. It's like, oh, I'll just use the monster to solve the problem all the time. Like, no. We have to actually, like, come up with a plan. Which a lot of these lesser shows won't do. Like Redekai. Yeah.
It also says, like, again, wiki page diving. Well, two things. One is that Imagination was a card game like Redekai.
Yes.
It also the video game that came out, like, on the Game Boy Color. In 2001.
Huh.
For the card game, and apparently that's a game that people, like, actually kind of like. It's one of those, like, obscure games, like a Pokemon clone. It's a whole separate thing unrelated to the show, save for, like, Tony being the main character, but otherwise it's, like, it's something. And also, yeah. Of the shows listed so far, this is the only one that apparently got canceled due to low ratings. I wonder why.
I can't believe Redekai didn't get canceled because of low ratings.
No, the Cartoon Network ordered all those episodes, and...
It ran for 3 seasons, didn't it? Redekai?
2 seasons.
I know that Imagination also ran for 2 seasons, and apparently there was, like, some kind of finality to that last episode, even though it got canceled. So, you know, there's that, I suppose, for all the 12 Imagination fans out there.
Sorry.
There are dozens of us.
Sorry to all JJK fans if we compared your goat to Imagination, and sorry to all Imagination fans if we compared your goat to Megumi. May you make peace and learn that you have more in common than you realize.
Alright, before we move on to the last two shows, we're going to take a 5-minute break. When we get back, we're going to talk about Huntik and Daigata Defenders. We'll see you in a minute.
See ya.
Get ready for one full hour of Magi Nation right here on the CW4 Kids. Toonzai! Now, another episode of Magi Nation right here on the CW4 Kids. Toonzai!
And we're back.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
During the break, I had a moment because we were talking about the Magi Nation theme, and I was like, and then there was a moment where I was like, it was in my head, and then my brain, it like shifted through a bunch of other shows at that time that with openings, and then eventually my brain ended up in a bad place.
Just sing the opening and let's hear it. What's the opening? What's the bad place?
Hold on, how did it start again? I'm just gonna say, I'm gonna say one line. 3, 2, 1. Time for revolution.
Oh. And a talking blood dog.
With a carrot nose dog.
No carrot nose dog.
With three heroes at once out of it.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that was Real Big Fish?
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? Fucking, what was up with that year in Toonami? Like, Knights of the Zodiac has Bowling for Soup. This has Real Big Fish. Fucking Blue Dragon has the guy from Deep Purple.
There was a show called Dragon Hunters, and The Cure did the opening for that show.
Were these guys just all out of money?
Bowling for Soup might have been at that time. Definitely so was Real Big Fish.
Yeah, but I like those bands, though. That's like a different... That's... I don't know.
By the way, we're talking... Just for people who have... We're talking about the English dub opening of Rave Master.
You know, Rave Master, that thing Hiromashima did before Fairy Tail, that was... I don't want to say good.
Wow. Wait, hold on.
Yeah, Hiromashima. Yeah,
before. No. See, I was always under the assumption that they were the same show. Oh, sorry. That's just because he draws the same goddamn characters all the time. Sorry. That was me.
I was going to say, it's like, no, unfortunately, I'm someone who can tell a difference, but only sometimes.
I can too, because I read Fairy Tail for a while.
And also because, like, Ravemaster was the first one, so his art style was not like. His art style was not, like, what's the word, sloppified yet. There was some, like, lankiness to it. Haru Glory was a character who has just a big fucking sword and white hair, and you know what? As generic as that fucking is, it's somehow, like, more to it than fucking Natsu, who, despite being more visually interesting and more defined, is so fucking just not my cup of tea.
And before anyone gets onto me about Fairy Tail, like, I read over 200 chapters of Fairy Tail. I put in my time, and I don't want to hear it.
I was in the fucking Gajia Levy Mines, motherfucker. Don't you dare!
I'm still in the Gajia Levy Mines. That motherfucker's hot.
They're both beautiful and lovely, and they make me smile. They're my two.
I'm in the Gajia. No, I'm sorry, not Levy. I'm in the Gajia Urza Scarlet Mines. I don't ship them. I'm just here because they're hot. Both Gajia and Urza were the things that kept me going for a while in that manga.
You and every other Urza Scarlet fan. Like, I'm not even gonna be mean about that. It's just, that's just what he does. And he realized, and you could tell when he was like, wait, I could just do this. And then he kept doing that. And he kept doing that. And now we have fucking, I don't even know what it's called. Gardenasia? Gardenelia?
What the fuck?
The game, that's also the fucking, Happy's here, Plu's here, they're all fucking here.
All the warriors, and also like the 1,000 years later Fairy Tail sequel fucking thing, whatever the fuck it is.
Anyway, speaking of Yuri Lowenthal, Huntik.
Yuri Lowenthal was in the dub of Fairy Tail, wasn't he?
Oh no,
he's in a lot of anime dubs.
He was in Rave Master. He was Haru.
Oh, yeah. He was also in the Fairy Tail dub.
Somewhere, probably. The fuck, it's Fairy Tail. Everyone's in fucking Fairy Tail.
Yeah, Johnny Ambosch is in it, too.
The Achievement Hunter guys are in Fairy Tail.
They sure fucking are, aren't they? But yeah, we're talking about Huntik, which is...
Seekers and Secrets.
Yeah, Secrets and Seekers.
Oh, fucking damn.
Fake fan.
I'm sorry, Dante Vale. I failed you.
I have failed you. I gotta make that meme. Huntik is an Italian show, right?
Yeah, Italian.
That was like a time period we were like adapting a lot of European
or getting like European cartoons. Like getting like imported things. So it was big one that we know of is Winx Club, which is the same studio, and I believe
and Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. It was created by.
Yeah, the Wings Club.
Same guy. Yeah,
the Wings Club guy. Yeah, no, this is and from the animation and how it moves, you can kind of tell. Like, yeah, this is.
Yeah.
This is Italian.
Unlike Wings Club, though, I actually like Wings Club, but you know, this was his attempt to make a boys' show. Clearly, right. And this was done by Rainbow, who I think they also did Wing Club, didn't they?
As things go, shared DNA with its sister Wings Club.
But they did Huntik, Wing Club, and Monster Allergy.
Now that one's a good one. That one's a really fucking good one, and I have a friend who like she is extremely big on all of these Italian shows. That's the one that is like people say is like that's good.
Yeah, I've heard Monster Allergy is actually pretty good, especially the books. Mainly, and just same thing with like Witch. Read the comics if you can for Witch. Like the comics are really good, but
really different too. Like,
yeah. By the way, the rubric on this one was 6 for me.
Huntik, I got to like episode like okay, so this was a cheat because. I was really just back watching episodes. Me and my friends, again, the same friend who likes these Italian shows, I just mentioned, like, hey, do you know about Huntik? Like, what the fuck's Huntik? It's like, oh, here's Huntik. And we all loved the opening so much that we decided to watch it as a group watch thing. And as a group watch thing, it is kind of maybe gassed up my opinion of it a little bit more than I actually feel. But I still think it's like a solid action show. It's like, it definitely has more going on for it because it has like real world like travel stuff. And
it's a monster collecting show meets Indiana Jones and like the Da Vinci Code, you know, which it makes it unique, if nothing else.
And also, like of the four shows, it is entirely like a American voice cast, like a weirdly fucking varied American voice cast because you have like. You got Mark Thompson, you got your four kids voice actors, or whatever. Then there's, like, Richard Epcar and Kirk Thornton, Yuri Lowenthal, and then, like, and then some, like, outlier. I'm trying to think, like, there was a weird outlier, because something, like, just a fucking mix of, like, New York-based talent and, like, LA-based talent, and it's just leads to this really cool voice cast.
I think Huntik has one of the strongest premises as a show, and like it has something. I think I should like this, you know. There's like little elements that I could probably hand wave away from just like the premise, but I think the biggest thing that's holding Huntik back, at least the two big things that are holding it back. And this is probably a combination of animation and the fact that it is Italian and the being dubbed.
Yeah, like
is the lip syncing is absolutely garbage.
Oh yeah, people will just say shit and it does not fucking work.
And the dialogue is like stilted and choppy because of like the adaptation. It's like an old anime dub. And then like even if this were an Italian. The pacing is like lightning. It's like shit just happens like constantly. If you don't get a moment, like hardly ever get a moment to breathe during any point. And it just feels like characters are like constantly doing things, and especially between certain pieces of dialogue, there are so many like I can think of like 3 different instances. Where like I think it was around episode 4 or 5. There's a scene where they were. It was when they're after the golem. There's like a bit where Locke and Sophie are running away from the goon guy, the goon squad, and they get cornered near that doorway, and Zalia and Dante are in the temple, and they're fighting. And the last shot we saw of Sophie and Locke was them being surrounded by the agents. And then we cut back to Dante and Zali, and Sophie's just in the scene, in the background, with no explanation. Like, I assume she just walked into the room, but we never saw that happen, and she's just there. Okay. And there's a bunch of instances of that where characters will just, like, suddenly appear in a scene or insert themselves and add absolutely nothing to a piece of dialogue because they have to dub over something that probably would have made sense in the native language, and it just leads to, like, already really stilted pacing being even more stilted. And that is its biggest issue, I think.
For all of that,
there's other ones.
Again, that's the thing. It's the thing is that it has enough of a premise, an actual fucking, like, begin, like, a starting point and, like, things going on to it, that those little things are less like, oh, this show fucking is rotting my brain, and more like, oh, that's just, like, silly. Like, look at this!
Yeah, no, they add up, and, like, the more you watch it, the more annoying it becomes. And I want to say, as much as this is the second best show we watch, it has the thing, the element in it that I hated the most out of watching all of these shows. Listen, I'm sure he's a great voice actor, but whoever the fuck directed Chariot to sound like that needs to be shot. God, I hate every moment he fucking talks. It makes me want to, like, rip my eyes out. It's so annoying.
It's crazy that he does both Dante and Chariot, because, like, his Dante voice is, it's just like, it's like his Casey Jones voice, but without, like, the New Yorker goongala in it. It's just raspy. And then with his Chariot, it's... God, man.
He sounds like a guy who has smoked every day for his entire life, who's whispering all the time.
I already forgot. Does Chariot rhyme, or does he just, like, talk like that?
He just talks weird.
And it's always so slow. Weird. It's always so slow too, because it's like, I feel like they're actually straining him. I feel like it's actually straining him to, like, say all these lines so high pitched now.
Probably hurt the voice that just fucking throat doing that voice.
Mark Thomas, if you're listening, I hope you're not being forced to do any, like, strenuous voices like that anymore. And again, nothing to you, just God, man.
And the other thing about this show that's super weird is that the animation is simultaneously really terrible and really good, if that makes any sense. Like, there are, like, flashes of genuinely good animation, but it's so choppy and edited so poorly.
Yeah, all the fucking, bad. Like, the Titan summons. Those are cool. The guitar riffs are cool.
Yes.
I fucking love the opening to Death so fucking much, man. It's up there with the Extreme Dinosaurs opening now. Like, I love this opening. It's so cheesy. And you know it's the same in Italian too. Like, it's like the chorus of, like, never give it up, never give it up. If you're strong enough, get the power. That's the same in both languages.
Mm-hmm.
I also give credit. I think the villains are, like, I don't want to say strong, just, like, they're so cliched in villain design that it loops around to being like, yeah, this is like what the ideal villain cast looks like. Got your big dude, your sneaky snivelly dude, and then your kingpin-like motherfucker.
And unlike all these other shows, there are some of these monsters that are, like, almost
got something. Caliban and Freelancer, like, which is...
Freelancer's all right. Freelancer's actually okay.
It's a good pun.
He's not bad, and so is the golem. The golem monster is also not bad. Sabriel, the fucking bayonetta-looking ass monster, is also not terrible. Like, a lot of the characters in, like, some of their main monsters aren't bad. And that's probably good, that the main characters' monsters are, like, not terrible-looking. Oh, man. But, you know, I watched, like, 6 episodes, and I mainly ended up watching 6 because, like, this show does a really good job of, like, one episode leading into the other one, which I'll give it credit for. Like, there's, unlike fucking Redekai, it's, like, serialized. One thing, like, one episode they'll have ended up in one place, but they'll still be in that place the next episode, and they'll have to go somewhere else. And there was, like, episodes 5, 6, like, 4, 5, and 6, I think, are the multi-parter where they're in France with fighting the gargoyle.
Go, gargoyle!
Come forth, gog. By the way, that's that thing about the gargoyle controlling water, that's a real thing.
They did, that's yeah, no, thing that, that thing too is like show. The deep cuts to like myths and stuff is really it's something.
Yeah, because apparently, according to like some scholars, they believe that the gargoyle, which is different than a grotesque, a gargoyle specifically has to have a water spout in it. Gargoyles specifically come from sort of a legend about a dragon that breathed water instead of fire. And the word gargoyle becomes the word gurgle, and to gargle, which are things related to water.
Neat. Thanks, Hontek. Yeah, the two metal shows, if nothing else, they're very educational.
Yeah. If nothing else.
I was harsh on you, Caliban and Freep. You're my best friends now.
Caliban is in Hontek.
That's a one hand on the other side, and the other, like, one hand to Hontek, one hand closing the divide. Bridging the gap between mid and mid.
With this animite, I imagine Ugger Frost.
Ugger Frost! Oh, God, that's right. Yeah, no, because they have their spells. They have their spells, too, like, in fucking Redekai, but at least they, like... Okay, I just think it's funny when they say it, because they all just say it in this, like, very, like, non... Hyperstride! Ray Pulse! It just sounds like they're trying not to say fucking Magic Missile, and I love it so much. And then there's fucking Augur Frost, which... Yeah, so I watched Hunting after I watched, like, Magi Nation. So hearing it and just the brain leakage going from one to the other, like... I got scared, man. I was like, oh god, these are the same show. It's almost as if some of these characters sound the same.
Almost as if.
Anyway, yeah. Hunting was silly.
But yeah, Hunting... I'm sure it's actually probably a little better in, like, its native language, but it probably will still suffer from the pacing problem. I do know, like, some shit happens in the show. I think, like, Dante fucking dies at some point. I remember that, and I also remember the big soldier guy. I forget his name, the one voiced by Richard Epcar. Apparently is, like, the heir to some sort of, like, a royal lineage or something. Like, there was, like, some stuff revealed with that, and there's, like, some stuff with Zalia that gets revealed later in the show. I remember catching bits and pieces of the show when it aired. And I think they set this up in the early episode. They're setting up the Sophie having a thing for Dante, but Dante has a thing for Zalia, and the weird love triangle, and then Sophie ends up with Locke because main male character, main female character, whatever. Ugh.
I'd rather have cliches over nothing, because, like...
Over nothing and, fucking...
I don't even think the Redekai characters like each other. They don't hate each other, I just don't know, like, what makes them friends.
I know nothing about them, and I know nothing about... Why is there an alien?
There's so many little dudes, and, like, mascots, and it's kind of upsetting. I want y'all to make a note of our critiques here, because this will be relevant in, like, fucking 20 seconds.
I wrote them down as I watched the show. All of my, like, little, like, things I noticed and critiqued about each individual show. Oh my god. Which is what I usually do when
I assume this mattered even more because we're watching 4 fucking shows. Well,
this mattered a lot because we were watching 4 shows that all bled together in certain parts.
I guess we've kind of saved it for... We got all we have about Hunting. It's like... Watch it with friends. It's worth it with friends because you can laugh at the fucking jank rainbow animation. On your own, it's like, if you like Italy, if you really like fucking rainbow animation, Winx Club, and you love fucking how Italian cartoons look, and you can, you know, tune out, like, cheer it every now and then, fucking go for it. It's all right.
Yeah. And then the biggest surprise of this entire episode, Daigata Defenders. I was like, okay, unlike, like, I had seen pieces of Magination, I had seen pieces of Redekai, and I had seen pieces of Huntake, I knew of their existence. Daigata was, like, not even a blip on my radar compared to any of those other shows, so I had, like, zero, no expectations going in. I was like, hold on, does this have sauce?
Let me tell you how I found Daigata Defenders as a wee lad, which was, like any story, in the basement of my aunt and uncle's house in Chicago. Because we were staying there for a wedding. I got bored, and when I was not flipping through, like, anime that I should not have been watching, but watched anyways, like Chobits, I thought this was kind of boring. I want some cool action cartoons, and found that they had, like, on their on-demand program, since we were, like, Chicago's close to Minnesota, Minnesota's close enough to fucking Canada. It was just, like, Canadian, like, import television channel. I was like,
YTV.
Yeah, no, it was, like, YTV on demand, pretty much. And so I was like, let's see what's on YTV. And I saw, like, all these shows that I just didn't know about. So it was, like, that one cartoon where, like, it's that one, like, cartoon about, like, the Olympians, but it's, like, they're teenagers.
Class of the Titans.
Yeah, Class of the Titans. Fucking...
Not Percy Jackson.
Way more fucking... like, Imagination likes and Huntic likes. Spider Riders was probably there.
Dino Squad.
No, Dino Squad was not there. Dino Squad is unfortunately American. Dino Squad is unfortunately CBS, and...
We have to take the L on that one.
Dino Squad is our fault, and... Like a lot of things, we're sorry. Sorry, gang.
That's our bad.
And then I saw that guy defenders. Like, okay, it has like a hyphen. Hyphens must mean it's a smart, cool show. So I don't know. It's just the name just seems so like, what is Daigata supposed to mean? Let's find out. And I watched it. I watched the first two episodes. And I was like, oh, this is like, or not first. I don't even know what I watched. It was just like, I saw the mule do all their moves. I saw like fucking what's his name? The fox dude.
Alan.
Yeah, because I saw Alan be a fucking shithead and thought, oh, that's kind of neat. They have like a fucking reoccurring like rogue-ish figure in part of their team. Main dudes are main dude, and like the main goons are like, okay, this is like your smart guy who's small and big guy doesn't talk. That's cool. But there was just like something about it where I was like, oh, this is like formulaic, but it's, I don't see it's not on my TV, on our television channels. Is this like from a different country? So, not saying Daigata Defenders is how I learned that Canada exists. It just made me realize that Canada has different shows, and this is where the historical lesson comes here. Canadian television, not so much now, feel free to fact check me, anybody, but mainly back in like the 2000s, for like media in general, mainly television, all of Canadian TV had to be like 30% imported media and 60% like Canadian media, as in Canadian actors, Canadian producers, Canadian directors, Canadian animators, Canadian fucking everything, because they didn't want to outsource all their shit. So that's why, I think that's why there's like a lot of ocean dubs. I think it's just like dubbing stuff. But there's all, but that's why there's a lot of like anime that's also like not totally Japanese, like weirdly like American-ish. Like Spider Riders and stuff, it's like joint productions, so that way it can't be like, guys, look, we have our own Canadian media. look at our proud lineup, and it'll be fucking Magi Nation, and Redekai, and Monsuno. Okay, no, Monsuno's American, unfortunately. Fuck. That's our L again. Point is, Daigata Defenders was one of those shows. It was made as, like, this era of, like, just Canadian animation. All, by the way, like, all this information I found was from, like, a fucking hour-long video essay on Daigata Season 1 by, let me find it.
Yeah, you send it to me. I'll link it in the show.
Yeah, I'm blank. I gotta find Tactical Bacon Productions. Yeah, their video on Daigata Defenders is a big reason as to why I wanted to like talk about this as the last show and the best. Because while it compared to fucking Gargoyles or fucking Darkwing Duck, like yeah, no, it's not being that out by a lot.
Oh no, absolutely not. Yeah, no.
But it's the way it's like. There's ideas, there's setup, it's these things where it's like, you take it for granted, like, that some shows that you consider bad have, like, people with passion doing them, and they have, like, a thing going on.
The thing that is, like, especially after watching, Redekai and this show were the last shows I watched, so after watching Redekai, this was such a breath of fresh air. It wasn't even funny. I'm like, oh my god, these characters are like defined and like have good chemistry, and I like them.
I guess Daigata was also on 4Kids. Sorry.
Yeah, but like they have things going on. I like them. There's a story here. The pacing is actually good. The only show like. This is the only show I would say unequivocally has good pacing. Out of all of these shows, Imagination's pacing is glacial. Redekai and Huntic's pacing is, we gotta go, we gotta keep doing shit. This show actually has good pacing, which is, god, I can't express to anybody who isn't like super in, who doesn't like analyze media as a hobby, how important good pacing is. Good pacing can kill or save a series. Good or bad pacing.
I love it.
And like, I don't know. There's something like, and the, as much as I wasn't a big fan of like the visuals, it grew on me as I watched it. By the way, I watched like 10 episodes.
Yeah, no, I watched like a bit, and then I watched to like the parts of the show I remember, which was like, this is a later season thing that happens, but one of the characters goes to, like, a status quo, like, change. Sorry. Oh, fuck.
Go die.
I'll try not to... I actually don't want to spoil this, because it's, like, actually, like, a real fucking status quo change, but something happens, and an actual permanent thing for the show happens to one of the... Not characters, but one of their, like, their... They're quote unquote spirit, like they're guardian beasts or whatever. They're guardians, and it's like,
yeah,
real. It's sad. There's a flashback in the next episode to when he first meets this character. What was it? Seth, our main character Seth, meets his guardian beast. I should probably explain this, what the show is about. It's about these four teenagers. Well, I think Seth and Mel are 14. So it's four of them: Seth, Mel, Eric, and Kara. Seth, Mel,
yeah,
and I think Eric are all, like, 14, 15. Kara's, like, 12.
Yeah, they're all, like, teenagers.
Well, Kara's supposed to be, like, Kara is the youngest. She's, like, 10 or 12. And that's supposed to, like, yeah, be, like, that's her thing. She's, like, kind of, like, a tag-along kid, like, the kid of the group. But they're all...
Teenage majority.
Yeah, but they're all, like, part of this monastic order, unlike Redekai. Or not unlike Redekai, I should say. But unlike them in that they actually have, like, a actual fucking reason for doing things, which is that they are based around, like, these stones, the Daigata stones, that, like...
Channel the, like, fundamental laws of the universe, basically. Which is cool, because, like, from what I was reading about it, is that each of the symbols are, like, they're kind of, like, the mana colors in magic, and they represent, like, fundamental things, like balance and stability, And then when you combine them into different configurations, you create things, which is cool. I like
that. Again, watch Tactical Bacon Productions video on this, because there's a detail about the creator being really interested in, like, runes. Like, actual real-world runes. And going, like, I want to make a show about, like, runes and how, like, rune magic works, but also about dice. The dice stuff is, yeah. Like, there's no rune RNG, but it's, like, it's this thing of, like, yeah, these don't really work together, but you think about it, it's, like, no, but it is kind of cool, though. If, like, this was a game, and say you landed on, like, your combination, and you got, like, your fucking move, and that's how you cast spells, that's, like...
It's like Dungeon Dice Monsters.
Fuck, it's Dungeon Dice Monsters. Fuck, they made Dungeon Dice even cooler. Well, eh. Perpendicularly cooler, because I also think Dungeon Dice is kind of cool, but...
Dungeon Dice is cool.
Point is, Canadian Dungeon Dice fucking rocks.
It does.
And,
yeah.
You go.
I'm gonna go ahead.
You go. Okay, yeah, I was just gonna say that, like, it's really... I fucking lost what I was gonna say, so you go ahead, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, again, it's just so, like, refreshing to be like, oh my god, I don't hate these characters. I like them, actually. This show actually was funny. I got a chuckle.
Oh god, that's right. I actually want to talk about the main four now. Five, because there's also, because of the, like, defenders.
Alan is kind of the sixth ranger.
He is, and you have no idea how fucking sixth ranger it gets later on. It's insane how much sixth ranger bullshit they put into this group. But yeah, it's Seth is the leader. He's the red. He's like, he's not really brash. He's just like always.
He's like, he's got patience, but he's also like kind of brash.
It's that he always wants to like go all at. I don't know how to describe it. It's like, it's not the boring way, it's that it's like nuanced. He's never doing shit just because the story demands it. It's always like reactive stuff. And again, he's 14. They're all 14. They're all kids. They don't realize how deep they're in it.
Yeah, they're all kids, but who were raised since birth to have this destiny thing. Which I'm sure, considering, like, I feel like that the show will address how kind of fucked up that might be just a little bit. But, you know, I won't, don't tell me yes or no on that.
I think what I can tell you is that Kara's character kind of goes with that more because, like, she's the most...
Yeah, she can't use her fucking legs because of an accident that was caused. Like, I looked this up because I don't think it came up in any of the episodes I watched, but the thing I was most curious about was, like, what's up with Kara's legs? And it turns out that when she was a little kid, like, really little, she used her brother's Daigata stones, and they misfired. And they burned her legs so severely that she could never walk.
Yeah, Daigata defenses
so has... Her brother made her prosthetics. It's cool.
Sorry, I fucking interrupted. Just, like, I just realized this now. Daigata has, like, an actual main character who is, like, disabled. And also, like... I mean, like, it's a very diverse fucking looking show. Not all the characters are just, like... This, I don't know, the same three skin tones. It's not Earth either, but it's like, you could tell where they're pulling from here. It's like this weird, like, Celtic stuff, Asian mythology.
Definitely a lot of Asian mythology, for sure.
The namings are, like, the names can go from, like, just regular old names to, like, some fantasy-ass shit. I don't know, fucking... What else fucking did I want
to... And the character designs, like I said, they grew on me. Like, but I could not help but... Whenever we saw, I can't remember his name, one of the two henchmen, the sniveling little scientist guy. Don't remember his name. But every time I saw his ass, I was like, Neocortex!
He does... Yeah. He
does look like Neocortex,
he is,
right?
He is. He's got the fucking... Does he not have, like, a scar on his forehead?
Neocortex has a big N.
No, I'm saying fucking... I already forgot his name, the fucking... The scientist dude.
He does have a mark on his forehead. So he is just Neocortex.
You know, if you tweak up Eric a bit and make him more orange, and replace Robidus with a Wumpa Fruit or Uka Uka, like... I'm just saying.
Mm.
Speaking of, favorite character of the fucking show... yeah, he's not, like, the most competent at times, and kind of fucking, despite being the tech guy of the show, gets fucked up a lot, or does stupid shit, he's just funny. He's, like, the Sokka of the group. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, another thing I wanted to point out. The comparisons to Avatar were made when this show was airing. Funnily enough, these are congruent, like, media. Like, they both aired around 2006, 2005, so, and with production times being so different, one could really try to say, like, who did it first. It doesn't really matter. They're not, it just happened.
They're so vastly different, I don't think it matters.
It's just, like, the, yeah, Asian influence world with, like, a magic system and, like, a four-man band.
God, Avatar doesn't have the monopoly on that.
Yeah, that's also... That...
I'm tired of... People will always do that shit. Like, it's like, yeah, but, like, they're so different. Who cares?
You know what else has that dynamic? Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And you know what else had that before that? The Wizard of Oz!
Wizard of Oz was the original isekai.
Yeah. Like, point saying is, like, yeah, every idea's been done. The Simpsons already did it. The most you could do is just do it your own way. And this show is doing things its own way, and I like that. It doesn't feel derivative. I can say, oh, it's like that, but really, it's just because it's like, yeah, I know that, and it does its own spin of the die, if you will. Teehee. Themes and narratives.
Fuck you.
I will say, though, and this is something that is not the show's first of all, the con of the show is... The animation gets a little clunky. Gets a lot of clunky.
It's clearly Flash, kinda, sorta.
It sure is Canada trying to be like, this is our Canadian television, and we're gonna do it our way. Where are the animators? Oh, shit. They're either all...
I would rather a show have, like, I'll take okay or mid animation or like clunky animation over like absolutely terrible pacing and like all the other shit we complained about with like some of these other, with Redekai especially. Like Redekai is the best looking out of all those shows that we've watched.
Never to be in like Man 2010, and it still is like.
But it's the worst one, because its pacing is terrible, and it explains nothing. Oh my god, people will put up with a lot of, like, people will put up with bad animation if you have good writing. Beast Wars. Reboot. Like, those shows do not hold up in terms of animation, but their writing is so good, I don't care.
Their writing and character acting and just, like, setting and everything else stands so well that... The animation doesn't even, like, make it bad. You're just like, oh, yeah, no, well, like, if it looked any better, then that wouldn't be the show. Like, it makes you just, like...
Also, this was the first show to... Not only the first, like, CGI animated, like, show, but the first... These reboot came out before Toy Story did. Like, no one had ever done this before.
I could see why...
There was no rule book about this shit. No.
I can see why people, especially like Canada, would want to be like this Canadian first like entertainment like thing. Because when they fucking go off, they make Beast Wars, and then Reboot, which are shows that are like actually history book worthy. Like
they're peak.
I meant more just like for like the like just doing 3D animation shit early on. Like that's crazy. And maybe not gonna get fucking any awards for that, but it just feels like there was a heart to it. It feels like there was a story to be told, and it feels like there was like no, there's a production bible. I don't think there was a production bible for any of the other for Redekai at least. For Imagination, I think it was just how can we sell our card game toys, and for Huntic, it was just I'm Mr. Rainbow Man. We at least said his name a while back. Mr. Winx Club guy. I want to make my Winx Club for boys to get even more money.
We need money.
We need the money. We need the lire. We need a billion lire.
A billion lire.
But yeah.
I was just like legitimately like, you know what? If I had watched this at the time, I probably would have really liked this show. I just never saw it, you know.
I could already imagine the hunt to go see. What are your symbols? What are your signs? What are your hunting signs?
The Digata signs, you mean?
Fuck. I did it again. Oh, God.
You did do it again.
It's over for me. Kill me with Ugger Frost.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about that. It's like picking what color you are in Magic.
Yeah, see? Because it's actually... Because there's fucking 13 of them. Well, 11 of them that you know of. Don't worry about that.
I know there's a final one. There's one, the dark race in the dark dimension. I know about that.
Oh, yeah, you know about the dark dimension. Oh, you're not...
I know about the dark dimension.
You're not ready for fucking the OC of OCs to come out. Oh, boy.
Yeah, but no, I might end up watching more of it just on my own time. I don't know if it's ever going to, like, be more than a background show, but if it, like, occasionally I'll look over and be like, oh, there's something interesting here. And, I'll definitely watch that video you talked about talking about the show.
It's about season one, yes, and I'll recommend it to you once again.
I'll put it in the show notes. It will be.
This was without this like retrospect, like this little like season one retrospective. I would have just been like, oh yeah, this show is like I liked it as a kid. It's neat, but I couldn't verbalize really why. This got it to a point and made me realize that oh yeah, no, this show actually did have like things to say because there was a production like. Bible for it, and just all shows have them, but this one felt like it was like really trying to do something with that.
They gave a shit.
Now, this is the part of where I clunkily say the thing that has been plaguing me since I started these shows, and I want to say it in the form of a question or three questions. They're all the same question. You know my funny little robot loving guy Eric from Digata Defenders.
Yeah.
How'd you describe his voice?
I don't know. I don't know how I would describe his voice. He sounds familiar, but I don't know if I can place him.
Now, how would you describe the voice, Strag's voice from Magination?
Oh, okay, I see where we're going with this.
And how would you describe Boomer's voice?
I can't believe... These shows did have something in common other than the monster hunting thing.
All three of these shows. And thank God I picked just three, because if it was like any other Canadian show, he would have been in it. This is our little additional voiceover shout out to one Dan Petrianovich. Did I say his name? I have to say his fucking name right. This is the Balkan connection here that I have to fucking be.
Oh, he's Balkan.
He's Serbian. He is a Serbian Canadian, so pretty much the anti-me.
And he voices your favorite character in Digata, huh?
No, but he's cool. No, like, this is not me deriding him. It's just funny that, like...
Small world.
Small fucking world, am I right? But yeah. Mm-hmm. Petronievich. I thought I mixed up the letters. Petronievich. There we go. I have to say that right. On my father's soul, I cannot say that. I cannot say any Serbo-Croatian last names wrong. Point is like, it's a factor that it's not even like a bad thing. It's just when I was watching the shows, I was like, wow. These all kind of sound the same. I'm like, hey, wait, that guy sounds the same. Hey, wait a minute, that guy sounds really the same.
I'm surprised we didn't hear Scott McNeil somewhere.
Oh, because no, are you kidding? Those are the Blue Water guy. That's Ocean. Those are the guys in, like, the Canada that's close to LA. Fucking Calgary. I think it's Calgary?
Calgary.
Yeah, those are the Calgary Canadians. They're for the good stuff. We have the fucking... The other Canadians, the Canadians that are closer to like Montreal, like the northern Canadians. No, when I say northern, fuck it, yeah. That's all east, the eastern like coast Canadians who do all the shit like fucking the Card Fight Vanguard dub and the Future Card Buddy Fight and shit and Beyblade. Well, they used to be able until they... Now they stopped doing that. It kind of sucks. I actually kind of do feel bad that there are less, like, Canadian-dubbed, like, kid anime and shows or whatever now. But, again, this is all product of its time. It was just Canada wanted Canadian cartoons and Canadian media on their networks. So they just sort of pumped these out, which is why a lot of these all sound the same or have this, like, these small voice casts and are all kind of okay to fucking bad. And some of them are really good.
So, yeah, some of them are really good. How was it? Again, I'm gonna watch more of Daigata, see where it goes. I don't know if I'll watch more of the show or not, but I'm definitely watching that video. And that might maybe end up watching the rest of the show. But this has been an interesting experiment. We'll definitely do another grab bag again. I think the next grab bag is the not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shows.
That mean?
Extreme Dinosaurs?
Something yes, really is rocking. I'll play at number 3. Modern Man's got Prehistoric
Extreme
Company.
Dinosaurs, Street Sharks, Biker Mice from Mars, and Cowboys of Mu Mesa.
Don't quote us on that. It may change, because who knows if we have an the other grab bag. These shows might...
We don't know when we're doing it, but that's the next one I want to do when we do another grab bag.
Let us know what you think. Let us know if we talked about too many shows. Too many, too little. What's your favorite month of, like, this genre of show? Of French-Canadian monster hunting show, I guess. Or whatever it is. Shit from
out
a butt.
These?
No, I'm saying to the listener, of course. We are.
Oh yeah, which of these? Yeah, question to the listener.
Are you a spider?
Out of all these shows,
are you a spider rider? Are you a fuck if I know, man? Are you a Metarotter? Sounds bad. Metarotter sounds dirty. Even are you Metarotter? Are you Metarotter in the brain? I am.
I'm certainly got a rot, but you know, after watching all these, I would love to watch a good monster hunting show, monster collecting show. So the next episode, we're going to talk about a show that I have gone to bat for so many times, and every time I mention it, nobody believes me when I tell them that Kaijudo, Rise of the Duel Masters, is a good show. And I will die on that hill, and I'm going to prove it in the next episode. That will be the next one. But for now, that's been this episode. If you want to follow us, you can follow me on at Kaiju Emperor at Blue Sky. You can also follow me on Tumblr under the same name, Kaiju Emperor. Jenk, where can they find you?
Drool Masters? Sorry, I had to say it, but I had to get that out of the fucking way. Someone had to mention that.
Someone had to mention the terrible dub of the original Duel Masters show.
But yeah, y'all can follow me on Blue Sky at JankJugJPEG, which I think actually does have an E. I've been saying it doesn't have an E, but I think it does have a fucking E. So, to whoever JankJugJPEG without an E, congrats on the follow. Or no, it has no E. Fuck. I gotta get a fucking easier name to say. I just thought it'd be funny because alliteration, but too many J's, I suppose.
This is why I have a consistent brand.
Yeah.
But that's the show. We hope you enjoyed and hope you liked this new format that might come back or might not come back. We'll see. It was definitely fun and interesting, and I think there are a lot of shows that kind of fall into this category of, like, there's no way we could ever have an entire episode about this show. So it's going in the grab bag.
Seriously, let us know if 4 is too much, if it's too little, if you want us to do 100 shows, or just...
No.
Okay. The 100 show kumite of every monster hunting show ever.
We'll do a March Madness style tournament bracket of... Monster collecting shows.
A bracket does actually sound kind of fucking fun. But it has to be, like, actual, like, Pokemon ripoffs. And that means all of them.
Oh, it does.
Fighting for dance.
Anyway, we hope you enjoyed the show. See you next time. Don't be a jackass. Bye.
Bye-bye.